Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Now, from BetQL, it's time for the Daily Tip with Michael Jenkins.
Dang it, he's talented, and let's be honest, I go for ambition, not look.
And Chelsea Messenger.
Don't kill the messenger, or the messenger will kill you.
Hey, Dad, don't forget about me, the dunkster.
Presented by BetMGM.
Good morning, and happy Monday. We will try to ease you back into the work week after what was probably a fantabulous weekend, kicking back, watching the Masters, maybe having some beers with the boys, and then today's tax day. So, like, what a contrast. We have these days peppered throughout the season, or throughout the year, I should say, that are kind of like a harsh jolt back into reality. Like, obviously, the day after Christmas, if it falls on a weekday, you're like, oh, God. Like, yesterday was so amazing, and now it's just back to the grind of things. So we'll try to ease you into it. We've got a great hour of content coming your way, starting with MVP of the weekend. No, it was not your koozie. It was somebody across the sports landscape that did the best across all sports. Then at 7:20, it's on to Major League Baseball, our best picks and plays for today's slate. Then at 7:40, the NFL draft is coming up, and it's a very interesting betting market. Because if you truly believe some of these quote-unquote insiders and what they say about who teams are going to choose, you can put your money where your mouth is, and you can bet on some of these guys. So we will talk about the level of trust with some of the insiders and who you should be putting your money on when it comes to the NFL draft. Jenks, I totally forgot that the NFL draft was coming up because it's not a market that, like, totally interests me. Like, of course, I'll watch and I'll pay attention, but it's not something that I like as much as, say, actual games and actual sports. I don't even know where the draft is this year. Do you know, like, the city or the location that it is?
Oh, God. No, isn't it Detroit? Am I making that up? I have no idea. I've actually done a little bit of homework on the NFL draft as far as looking at where players will go. I believe it is Detroit, so I actually got that right. You never know. Blind squirrel finds an acorn once every blue moon. Oh, yeah, I know this because I saw that they're just adding some things to the city. They're adding some signs and stuff, you know, to sort of, you know, gussy it up a little bit before everybody comes to town, which I like Detroit quite a bit. But I've done a little bit of research on just some of the players. It's not a market I'm generally interested in because of all the smoke screens and all the rumors that float out there. Wasn't it last year? Remember that one day or 2 years ago when Will Levis was favored suddenly out of nowhere based on some internet rumor that for like a hot second, like a couple hours across markets across the country, that Will Levis was favored to be the number one overall quarterback taken, which was not true at all, but the market shifted and it was because of some unverified report. And that's why I don't want to say it's a dangerous market, that's overstating it, but it's a difficult market to navigate.
Well, especially if you don't have any insider info, because it's the ultimate information-based market. You know, there is nothing available to me that the sports books don't know. So unless you have like a friend or like a family member who's within the organization, it just feels like there's no advantage for me. Like, that's why I don't love it. But I will say the NFL draft as an event, I feel like it needs to stay in Nashville. Because when they had it in Nashville, it was the biggest party ever. And there were so many mad bachelorettes. They're like, how dare they hold the NFL draft on my bachelorette weekend? This is supposed to be about me. Are they all wearing pink dresses? I think not. That was the memo. You're supposed to wear pink. That had to be one of the funniest moments in NFL draft history. Do you remember these videos?
No. When was this?
Oh, God. When did... it was a few years ago. But if you have some time during the break, look up Mad Bachelorettes NFL Draft Nashville. It's some of the funniest content you will ever see. Like, this girl
I think I remember
just...
I remember you saying something to me about it at the time, or maybe the time where you had mentioned it before, because maybe this is before we did our show. I forget. But I know for a fact that it's the bachelorette, like, capital of the world. But I don't remember these girls throwing a fit because of it. That sounds fantastic. I'll absolutely look that up.
Oh, it was in 2019. Bill's got it for us. But yes, it was epically funny. Because girls, like, some girls who do not follow sports, they don't get it. That's like a big deal that's been planned for a long time. They're like, well, I planned my bachelorette party last year. It's like, well, the NFL's kind of known for a while. And just because the NFL draft is here does not mean that you can't coexist. But you know how some bachelorettes are. All right. So let's get to who had the best weekend of them all. Even better than a bachelorette party. That's right. We had some great candidates over the weekend.
Here are your nominees for Monday MVP.
MVP! MVP!
MVP! All right, good morning, Chelsea. Good morning, Jinx. Obviously, there's probably going to be one overwhelming minus, you know, 10,000 favorite, but we'll go through and run the nominees anyway. Nominee number one, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Oklahoma City Thunder.
Shai's first shot on the step back, right at the elbow. Oh, Shai, nice spin. Just went right around Hardy. Takes a little clip, scores the bucket, plus the foul. And Shai checks the clock. Patiently waited to make his move. Runs right by Williams, dumps it off. Got the assist right there. Cason Wallace, who snuck inside.
SGA scored 23 points Friday night and then 16.6 assists in just a half on Sunday as the Thunder clinched the top spot in the Western Conference. Oklahoma City won their last five games of the regular season to grab the top spot in the West for the first time in over 10 years. Nominee number two will stick with the NBA, Bradley Beal of your Phoenix Suns.
Squaring, firing, and splashdown for Bradley Beal. This guy's going to shoot, and he's going to make.
He is on a heater.
Beal with Edwards stepping out. Beal racing to the rim, gets it up and in. Just an explosion from Beal. Now push out. Beal sets, fires, connects.
Beal, 36 points, including 6 of 6 from beyond the arc, as the Suns grab the 6th seed in the Western Conference. And you say, what's the big deal? They were the 6th seed. Well, if they had lost that game, they would have been in the play-in tournament. They would have been the 7th seed. Instead, with that 125-106 win over Minnesota, they get a rematch now with Minnesota as the 6th seed. So the 3-6 matchup will be Phoenix-Minnesota. And Phoenix went 3-0 against the T-Wolves during the regular season. Nominee number three and your overall favorite, Scottie Scheffler of the PGA.
Watch this. Watch this track. How good is this? Comes down underneath the hole. It's a good birdie opportunity. Sure is now. Piece of cake, isn't it?
Two out of three in, but Scheffler tames a difficult Augusta. And it's green jacket number two.
Scottie Scheffler, 4 under par, 68 in the final round of the Masters on Sunday, winning his second green jacket in 3 years with a 4-stroke victory. It was Scheffler's third win on tour in just the last 35 days, adding to victories at the Arnold Palmer and the Players. Finally, nominee number 4, turn left, gentlemen, Chase Elliott from NASCAR.
Chase Elliott,
he's clear.
Clears Chastain for the lead.
He's going to make it to the white flag, too. The race is going to be official.
Byron takes third from Keselowski. Final lap. Keselowski turns the one.
Byron.
Byron into the wall. Yellow. It's over.
Chase Elliott is your winner, folks. He is back. Oh, big win for them guys.
The leader did receive a white.
Boys, you're going to Dawsonville. Chase Elliott wins the Auto Trader Echo Park Automotive 400.
Elliott snapping a 42-race winless streak with a victory at the Texas 400 on Sunday. He hadn't won since taking the checkered flag at Talladega in the fall of 2022, and he had to hold on through 3 separate restarts down the stretch to secure this win in Texas. Jinx, I'll start with you. It may be obvious, but I'll ask anyway. Who was your MVP over the weekend?
Everybody knows it's Chase Elliott. Big win for those guys down there in the Lone Star State. You know how hard it is to win after 3 straight restarts down the stretch? No, good for Chase, but it's got to be Scottie Scheffler. Has to be Scottie Scheffler. And what we're seeing right now is a level of dominance that we have not seen on the PGA Tour, dare I say, since maybe Tiger. Whatever it is, it's been a long time. Maybe there was a hot second there where Rory was getting this sort of publicity, but there's no reason why Scottie Scheffler can't go on an incredible run. And so not only does he have 2 jackets, 2 green jackets in 5 Augusta starts, it's only the second time that's been done in Masters history, but he also is coming off back-to-back wins at the Players, which is the 5th major, as we know, the unofficial 5th major. But he's not just winning, he's playing at a level that no one else can match right now. And frankly, you can hear it in the announcers with the way they discuss him, the way they talk about him, because it's just a rarity. It's when you have Tiger Woods, the greatest golfer, arguably the greatest golfer of all time, even though it's an older Tiger Woods, a 48-year-old Tiger Woods shooting 16 over, even now, it a guy who knows the course that well, it just tells you how difficult the Masters is. And Scotty was able to go in there and make it look like make it look easy, and we know it's not easy. Scottie Scheffler is your MVP.
Yeah, it has to be Scottie Scheffler, but I'm going to crown him MVP of the weekend for a different reason, because I feel like there's this notion that if you're the greatest at something, it has to be your whole identity. You know, you see guys like Michael Jordan, like Tiger Woods, where it feels like it's their entire life. Scottie Scheffler has proven that you can have some semblance of a work-life balance and still at the top, be at the top of your game. Because what has been the storyline all weekend long is that Scottie Scheffler would leave at a moment's notice if his wife went into labor. Because he said, that's the biggest thing in my life right now. I know the feeling of winning a Masters is amazing, but the feeling of seeing my wife give birth to our first child, that is more important to me. And I know a lot of people would say, well, it didn't happen. We'll see if it actually happened. But this is Scottie Scheffler's personality. Like, this is not the first time we have heard him reference this narrative in his life saying, okay, even if I don't win, my security or my identity is very secure in the person that I am, in my marriage, in my life. So I feel like it's setting a great example for people that you don't have to slave over your craft in order to be successful. So MVP of the weekend is Masters champion and also work-life balance king, Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah, Scheffler, no doubt, the MVP over the weekend. And I like the fact that he's very self-deprecating and talking. If you watch the speech after he won, a lot of guys aren't really good at those things because that's not what they do. They're just athletes, so they're not great talkers. He was fantastic in doing the speech after the victory over the weekend as well. I thought he was tremendous, and it was one of those things where, again, you see these guys, and Jenks, you referenced almost Tiger-like, where there was a whole group of them right there at 6-under, 7-under, whatever it was, and it was kind of in the balance. And one by one, all these guys just fell apart, and he was solid and then just put his foot on the gas in the back nine and ran away with the thing. And it reminded you of when Tiger would have a lead or be at the top, and guys around him would just melt. The same type of thing. He didn't flinch at all, even after the early bogey. Scheffler's great, and you look at the odds for the U.S. Open, the PGA Championship. He is by far the runaway favorite here, even a couple months out. I mean, I don't know where else you put your money these days. There's nobody else to bet on.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you have to put something on him because, again, if he's in contention on Sunday, he's going to be the favorite. He was minus 115 going into Sunday. So even for the hedging opportunities, I know we kind of throw around the word value, but the value is still there if he's a guy that's going to be in contention every single damn Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else you can say about Scottie Scheffler, and that's how you know that someone is performing at a crazy high level when you run out of descriptors, when you run out of adjectives, because he's so far and away the best golfer on the planet right now. And you make a good point about his work-life balance. And he even said afterwards, now golf is going to become probably the fourth most important thing in my life once I have a child. I don't know what the top three are, but his point was, I've got to find a way to make sure that I enjoy the sport, but not let it dominate my existence. That's a difficult thing to do. But when you see other golfers admiring your work on the PGA Tour, you're doing something right. What a performance.
Yeah, I think he is going to be the guy to beat for a long time. And it's been fun watching this stretch, and especially from his personality type, because he's such like an aw shucks guy that sometimes we forget how dominant he is. Maybe he is not the fierce competitor on the outside that we saw from Tiger Woods, but still somebody who is playing at a Tiger Woods level. Next up here on the show, we give out our best plays and picks for today's slate in Major League Baseball. Stick with us.
Chelsea and Jenks will be right back on the Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Let's get back to the Daily Tip with Chelsea Messenger and Michael Jenkins, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.
And we are back. That's right. It's a Monday edition of the Daily Tip. In a few minutes, we'll get to Major League Baseball, our best bets from today's slate. But Jenks, we've been talking about my Europe trip and how I'm going to be in Paris as early as next weekend. So I've got to ask, I have been going back and forth on if we should go to the Louvre, because of course, it's one of the most famous museums in the world. And the funny thing is, how many memes have I partook in where it says, hang it in the Louvre? And now I have a chance to go to the actual Louvre. So we'll see if all of those pictures and all of those memes will actually be there. Because I always think of like the funny ones, like the picture of Yasiel Puig fighting the entire Pirates team, and everybody's like, put it in the Louvre. So now I have the chance to actually go there and see the most famous paintings and works of art, I should say. So, Jenks, do you think I should go? I'm normally not somebody who loves, like, tourist traps, but it does feel like there's a lot of cool stuff there.
Yes, you should definitely go. And but here's the thing. The Louvre is not, as I know it feels like a tourist trap because everybody wants to go, but it's really not. Like, it is the Louvre. Like, you're going to see the Mona Lisa. You're going to see some sculptures. You're going to see an incredible amount of history, and not just like a regular museum. Or it's not like, you know, when if you're on a cruise and they drop you off at some island, but you're on the island for a little bit and they're selling a bunch of trinkets and there's some cool stuff there, but it's definitely a trap where you're there, but you're not really experiencing what the island has to offer. I know we're talking about Paris, mm-hmm. but really that's one of the more intrinsic things, one of the more inherent things that makes Paris what it is, the history and all of that, all of the different things you get to experience and see when you go to the Louvre. So you absolutely should go. I know it's a meme, but yes, definitely, 100%.
Well, because so much history is there too, right? Like, I think that's part of the reason why I wanted to go back to Europe, because it feels like, of course, we have the Native Americans, and of course, there were people here, but we don't have the structures that are still surviving that they have over in Europe. So it just has like an old world feel to it. So I am excited to see that, because especially where I live, like, everything's new, or at least newish. You know, most of the shopping centers around here were built in the last like 5 years. So I feel like it's cool to go to Europe and see all these buildings that have been there like for hundreds of years.
Oh yeah. One part of it too is you're getting the history, you're getting the art, and you're getting the architecture as well, right? So one of the things that blew me away about Paris when I went was that it was hard for me to imagine how huge, like how large it is as a city. I mean, the architecture is massive and it's everywhere and it goes on and on and on and on. And that's not a knock. I couldn't believe how grandiose it was. And I thought, my God, if I wanted to take all this in, you just don't have the time to do it unless you're spending probably multiple trips there to really get into it. Certainly you can see the bigger attractions there, but yes, go to that and just take it all in. There will be a lot of people there, but it will absolutely be worth it.
Yeah, do you think I should ask the tour guide where Yasiel Puig fighting the pirates is? Like, listen, I heard this was in the Louvre. Where is it?
Hey, is there like a corridor down here? Like, where are all the memes that I keep reading about? Is there like a, can you just tell me where like the meme wing of the Louvre is? That would be awesome. Yeah, ask him that and see how that goes down. It'd be perfect.
Yeah, they'll be like, stupid American. I will be, you know, part of the stereotypes for them. I'm wondering how that goes too. Because I've heard that like the French are kind of, how you say, stuck up and not super nice to Americans. How do you say stuck up? But I've been to France before. I just haven't been to Paris.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember that. I'm sure there is naturally some derision there when it comes to Americans, because you're going to see a lot of Americans there visiting Paris, as you might expect. But ultimately I think you blow it off and you know why you're there. And as long as you have that self-awareness, then I think you're fine.
Right. I'm not there to make friends. I'm there to see the Louvre, and I'm there to find Yasiel Puig and the Pirates, my favorite painting. All right. Speaking of baseball, let's get to our favorite plays on the diamond. Let's start off in Toronto. The Blue Jays hosting the Yankees. Toronto short favorites here, -115 behind Chris Bassitt, who's 1-2 with a 5.06 ERA on the year, a total of 8.5 runs. Luis Gil going for the Yankees. Jenks, I feel like I am smelling a first 5 under. I like both of these pitchers. The Blue Jays have kind of been hot to this metric. And plus, we talked about this last week. Chris Bassitt, when pitching at home, is way better than Chris Bassitt that we see on the road. Last season, his ERA on the road was a full 2 runs higher when pitching away from Toronto. Sabotage factor, though. The Yankees, of course, have the big bats. And with one swing, they can, of course, send your under home packing. So, Jenks, do you have a feel or a read here?
Well, that is exactly what I was going to say, which is I want to go under here, because Heel has been great. Bassett, as you mentioned, much better when playing or pitching at Rogers Center. But then I also, this is just going to be a no play for me. And I think maybe I might back the Yankees here at minus 105. If you got a coin flip and you got Heel who's been good, then maybe just go with the cheaper price. But ultimately, when these two teams met earlier this season, two of those three games went way, way over. So I want to go under. Yankees are the best under team in baseball. Yet when these two teams get together, the over is hit thus far. I'm kind of all over the place with this game. So I'm just going to pass on this one. Maybe I lean Yankees. I can't get a good read on it, to be honest with you.
Well, if you don't like it, there's other games on the board. And then one final little tidbit before we move on. Chris Bassett has been really good against the Yankees. Last year went 7 2/3, scoreless in one outing, and 7 shutout in the other. So pretty solid against the Yankees, even though we know they have some new bats in that lineup, notably Juan Soto. All right, next up, let's go to the Brewers and the Padres. We've got San Diego road favorites here, minus 135 behind Joe Musgrove. And we've got Joe Ross going for the Brew Crew, who's 1-0 with a 1.80 ERA, total of 8.5 runs. So, Jenks, I think the question here is, which Joe Musgrove do we think we get? Because that has been the question so far this season.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to go with the Brewers. Money line, plus 110. I got to see something from Joe Musgrove that makes me think, all right, it's time to back you. Because I remember at the end of last year, we were backing Joe Musgrove on the regular, and he was winning this money, but he just hasn't shown it so far this year. And Joe Ross is – I didn't want to touch Joe Ross earlier in the year because, you know, this is a guy who is back in the majors, had a lot of time off, but he's been good. Thus far, 2 runs in 10 innings this season. Last time out, he was great against the Reds at Great American Ballpark. We know that's a launching pad. So I actually feel more comfortable with a sprinkle on the Brewers' money line here.
Well, surprisingly enough, the Brewers' offense has been better this season than the Padres. The Padres were kind of like that last year, in which they had all these big bats and all these expectations, but yet the run support didn't seem to be there. Their advanced metrics are actually pretty solid when it comes to WRC+. They're in the top 10, but the Brewers are in the top 5, the 4th best offense, according to that metric. So this one's kind of a pass for me, just because I feel like Joe Musgrove still certainly has that potential to have a good game, but I don't want to back him as a favorite. So we'll have to wait and see when it comes to Joe Musgrove and the Padres. Next up, let's go to Houston. Astros and Braves squaring off in what looks to be a good postseason matchup, but instead we get two of the lesser arms. No offense to these guys, but Atlanta is going with a bullpen game starting Darius Vines. Then for Houston, it's the young guy Spencer Arrigetti, who is 0-1 with a 21 ERA. Of course, it is a small sample size, a total of 9.5 runs. So, Jenks, how do we play a game between two absolute contenders when maybe they don't have their best arms throwing today?
I don't know. I think you take a team like the Braves. Braves first 5 money line, I guess. How am I supposed to handicap Darius Vines and Spencer Arrigetti, Chelsea? Can I just get this written into my contract where I don't have to do this ever again? I think I would fade Arrigetti more than I would backing Vines. I don't know much about Darius Vines, and I do know Arrigetti. He is supposed to be the Astros like pitcher of the future, right? Like he was their minor league pitcher of the year last year, but in his debut got crushed by the Royals. 7 runs in just 3 innings, and now he has to face this Braves lineup that is loaded from top to bottom, a Braves lineup with the best average in all of baseball, a Braves lineup which is the 5th highest scoring team in the sport in the first 5 when playing at home. I guess I'll go Braves first 5 money line minus 120. Not my favorite play, but that's how I handicapped it.
I think that's probably the only play here, or maybe just the Braves on the money line for the full game, minus 120, just banking on the Braves' bats being a touch better than what we've seen from Houston thus far. The Astros are still a good team, and they still have pretty good like advanced metrics. But as far as runs per game go, like they have been kind of struggling. They're middle of the pack, averaging just over 4 runs per game. So this is an Astros team that's very much been underwhelming so far this season. And you can see that with their overall record. So maybe you just take the Braves, but overall, not my favorite game on the slate. Next up, let's go to the Cubs and the Diamondbacks. We've got the Diamondbacks -145 at home behind Merrill Kelly, who's 2-0 with a 2.29 ERA. Total of 8.5. Ben Brown gets the ball for the Cubs. Jenks, it feels like this is a very solid price on an Arizona team that is really good. I mean, they went to the World Series last year behind one of their better starters in Merrill Kelly. No, he's not the big sexy name that you see from some of the like franchise pitchers, but still somebody who's been very good over his career and very good this year. So I think for me, it has to be Arizona in some way, whether you take him in the first five or in the full game.
Yeah, I'm going to play. I'm deciding this will be one of my best bets, but I'm going to play Arizona first five, right? Hard not to. You can get him on the money line at -145. It's not terrible. Merrill Kelly, two starts at home this season. In those two starts, three earned in 13 2/3. Even last year, he was great at home. So this is a trend we've seen for a couple seasons now. ERA of 2.59 in the desert. And when playing at home, Arizona is the best first five team in all of baseball. I think you go Diamondbacks first five money line there.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. Again, I feel like the Diamondbacks still kind of creep under the radar as far as the best teams in baseball with really good prices. So I think that's a good one just because the price is good. They're playing at home and the team's off to a decent start. Next up, let's go to Boston. Red Sox Guardians here. Boston -125, Cleveland +105. Total of 9.5. We've got Xavion Curry going for Cleveland. This is going to be a bullpen game. Facing off with Cutter Crawford, who's has yet to record a win or loss this year and has a 0.57 ERA. Jenks, is there anything you think bettors should know before betting on this game?
I'm going to go Boston. Another first five money line here. And so Xavion Curry is normally he's a reliever, right? But he's going to get the start and was pretty good in his last rehab start, Triple A Columbus. Looked good, one run, five hits over 4 1/3. But again, he belongs in the bullpen. It's going to be a bullpen game for the Guardians. And Cutter Crawford, I'm telling you, if you look at a lot of his metrics, if you look at what he's done so far this season, I mean, he has been unbelievable. Giving up only a single earned run this season in 15 2/3 innings. I'm going to go Red Sox first five money line, and I believe you can get it at -140. So that's my play.
I still feel like the Red Sox maybe are a little overvalued at this point in the season because they've played some lesser competition. I'm not really buying in just yet. I will say Cutter Crawford has had a good stretch because his starts have not been against, you know, the worst offenses, or at least not all of them. He did have 5 shutout against the Orioles, which is actually a good one, had 6 punch outs in that one. But maybe the sabotage factor is he also had 4 walks. So sometimes struggles with command a bit. He had 3 walks against the Angels. I would imagine that this is not a Guardians team that makes him pay for it, but it's a crafty team that's good at stealing bags and maybe generating offense that way. So I think the Red Sox's favorites are still a little sketchy to me, because isn't that the name of the game in baseball? You are looking for teams you can trust. And it feels to me that the Red Sox are not quite there yet.
I mean, I would agree with you. And that's why I don't want to go full game here. Because if you look at the Pens here, the Guardians have a huge advantage in that respect. I know it's a bullpen game here, but Crawford, I think, is sort of one of those guys that as the season goes on, we're going to be talking about how he's in the conversation as one of the better pitchers, if not one of the best pitchers in the American League. He's really on that trek right now. So I'll take him in the first five. I think full game, that's when I get a little bit nervous, because the Guardians are a deeper team. They are a better team. But in the first five, I'm going to roll Cutter until I see something different.
Yeah, I guess I could see that. Especially with the Guardians, sometimes their offense can be a little pedestrian. Coming back from the break, we'll start off hot with who do you trust in the NFL Insider Game and how do you bet on it when it comes to the NFL Draft. That's next on the Daily Tip presented by BetMGM.
Chelsea and Jenks will be right back on the Daily Tip presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network. Let's get back to the Daily Tip with Chelsea Messenger and Michael Jenkins, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.
All right. Thanks for tuning in on a Monday here. In a few minutes, we will get to the NFL draft and how you can bank on maybe what some of these insiders are saying about who goes where in the upcoming NFL draft. Jenks, we know you do some side work with the Commanders. What are the feelings and the vibes right now in Washington about possibly getting a shiny new quarterback?
I think the, well, all the debate is who's it going to be, right? It's going to be Jaden Daniels. Mm-hmm. It's going to be Drake May. It's going to be Jaden Daniels. It's going to be Drake May. And there's two different schools of thought on that. We're hearing reports it's going to be Jaden Daniels, but then some people are very big on Drake May because he has less experience in the college game. And so because of that lack of experience, he has maybe a higher ceiling, or maybe he has more room to grow. You can choose either side of that debate. But I think the exciting thing as far as the Commanders go is that this is a team that I don't want to say is built to win now, because they're not. But this is a team that has done a really nice job during the offseason of bringing in some important pieces and some real subtle pieces that maybe didn't necessarily move the needle. But they had the most cap space of any team in the NFL going into the offseason. And so whether it's bringing in Austin Eckler, whether it's bringing in Bobby Wagner, whether it's signing Frankie Louvu, there's some really nice pieces on this team where, all right, they're not going to go out and make some sort of incredible run in the playoffs, but what they might do is be much more competitive in the division and surprise some people. And then if you get potentially a franchise quarterback in there, then long-term, you have the foundational pieces in place to be a very good football team, which is something that the Commanders haven't been able to say in a long, long time.
Yeah, I do feel like the teams who are possibly getting a new quarterback, those have to be the fan bases that are the most excited for the NFL draft, right? Because it's the ultimate sign of hope, because we see it with some of these young quarterbacks who come in, and although it is the rarity, it is certainly not the norm, they come in and immediately off the bat, they change the team. Look at C.J. Stroud and look what the Texans were before he got to town. Look at Joe Burrow and what he did for the Bengals. So I think everybody is holding on to some glimmer of hope that maybe they found the next one kind of like that. Although it feels like the other, you know, standard or the other outcome is probably more probable. So does hope spring eternal? Are the fans actually excited for this? Or is there a feeling of like, maybe we get a good quarterback? I don't know. Is it cautious optimism? Like, what is the thermometer read?
People are very excited because this has been sort of a two-part level of excitement for the Commanders, honestly. The first part was, okay, now we have new ownership, right? And that was huge because Daniel Snyder was a bad owner. He was a bad human being. And people were conflicted here in D.C. He was, I mean, I don't know.
To put it lightly, yes.
To put it lightly, yes, that is me being kind. But you know when the NFL says you need to go. When your fellow owners, who these guys stick together or stick as thieves, when they say, okay, it's time for you to go, it's time for you to go. So I think a lot of people in this city were conflicted because this city's dying for an NFL team that is good, that is competitive. And a lot of people said, okay, well, I want this team to win, but I don't want this guy to benefit. So how do you reconcile that, right? Like the guy who benefits from your team winning is a guy that nobody likes. So now that he's gone, that was huge. And a lot of people were able to get back on board and say, okay, now I can support this team again without feeling guilty about it. And a great group of guys in place. Just imagine, like I said, imagine if you were used to Daniel Snyder, Chelsea, and all of a sudden you're like, now I know this is the Josh Harris group. And then a few weeks later, like Magic Johnson's in your locker room. You're like, what in the hell is Magic? Like the change, the lifting of the weight off the collective shoulders of the fans was huge. And so that was part one. And part two is, okay, now that's done. Part two is we have a ton of room under the cap. We have a brand new head coach in Dan Quinn. We have new coordinators and we have the number two overall pick. Now we can start building a football team because we have the ownership in place. So I think because of those two things, no one expected things to change overnight. But that's about as good as it gets if you're trying to rebuild a franchise from scratch, is you get the ownership group in place and then you start building a team the right way. Whether it works out remains to be seen, but you can't ask for much more as a fan who suffered for two plus decades.
Yeah, especially this time of year where every team has high hopes for the upcoming season. They have yet to be dashed just yet. But when it comes to betting on the NFL draft, it is the ultimate game of who do you trust. Like, we talk about this in baseball. You try to pick players and teams that you trust. But in the NFL draft, it's not a game. There's not a ball involved. Mm-hmm. You know, it is not a sport that is being played. It is simply an information-based market. So you really have to pick your sources wisely. But one highly regarded source, Adam Schefter, who's, you know, probably the number one, the top dog when it comes to NFL insiders, he has said that the Commanders have decided on LSU quarterback and reigning Heisman Trophy winner Jaden Daniels as their choice with the number two overall pick. He says, and I quote, "I think you can go get those Jaden Daniels jerseys." Now, the odds on Jaden Daniels to go number two overall to the Commanders, as it sits, is minus 225. Jenks, to me, if I was going out to buy a uniform, I would want those odds to be much higher or much more juiced, I guess I would say. Because if this was a sure deal, wouldn't it be more than minus 225? Wouldn't it be like minus 1,000?
You would think, right? Oh, man, the NFL draft, this is such a crazy market. I do not like betting on the NFL draft at all. And this is exactly the reason why. Exactly the reason why. So maybe Daniels is the guy. But again, things like this, the draft is still, what, a week and a half away? So we have plenty of time for things to change. And a lot of this has to do, not necessarily with the Commanders, because they have the number two overall pick, right? I don't know why they would be wanting to throw someone off, because we know the Bears are going with Caleb Williams. But you just never know the decision that a team is going to make. Or they can change their minds, too. When you have if you have the number two overall pick, and you're deciding between Daniels or May, there's no question that you could continue looking at tape, you could continue having discussions, you discover something, you rethink things through, maybe you overanalyze, and you change your mind. That can happen too. So I'm with you. If I'm betting on, well, I'm not going to bet this market, but I'm going to get a jersey that says Jaden Daniels on it, I'm going to wait until it's minus 1,000 minimum. I'm not going to go minus 200 because these odds could flip-flop by tomorrow.
Yeah, buying a jersey is a bet in itself, is it not? Like, when you are buying a jersey of your favorite player, like, imagine the people that bought Derrick Henry uniforms last year, and now they're sitting there saying, well, this was a bet that I did not win, or at least in the long term, because you got to win it for one whole season, and those jerseys are not cheap. And a lot of this is because it's not just one-sided. It is multifaceted in that, say, yeah, they really like Jaden Daniels, but they are offered some kind of package to trade. I don't think that this happens, but there are other teams involved here. And what, you know, if the rug is pulled out from underneath Caleb Williams and he doesn't go first overall, which I know is, you know, kind of out of the realm of what we're expecting, but still, there are other things that go into this other than just the Commanders simply liking Jaden Daniels.
Yes, exactly. There's a whole ton of factors that we don't even consider, right? Because these guys are doing personal interviews. These guys are reaching out to members of Jaden Daniels's coaching staff at LSU or Drake May's coaching staff at North Carolina. They're visiting pro days. They're looking at tape. And how much can I evaluate tape? Do you know what I mean? Like, I can look at tape and I can say, you know, Jaden Daniels throws an incredible deep ball. And he does throw an incredible deep ball. How much of that projects to the pros? Does he take too many hits? What about Drake May? Does he have a higher ceiling because he has less college experience? I can give you my thoughts, but I'm also not a professional draft scout. There are guys that get paid to do this. So there are so many different factors when you look at a player and how he projects to the National Football League, things that aren't really tangible that you have to look at and really go into the weeds, and you look at numbers now because it's such a metrics-based world that we live in, be it game planning or even looking at how someone might perform at the pro level. So absolutely, based on all those factors, why wouldn't you maybe change your mind or maybe go back and forth? Of course. So that's why this is a market that I'm not interested in betting. I am interested to see how it – this is not a time I would ever lay minus money. If I'm going to go after a bet on the draft, I'm going to go after a plus money bet that I think maybe might work in my favor or maybe get some closing line value, whatever. But it's a difficult market to bet.
Yeah, I think you bet on chaos. You know, you don't bet on like heavy favorites because we have seen chaos in the past. Like you were referring to Will Levis earlier. There was some Reddit thread that like claimed that he was going to be the favorite. And we actually saw a tangible movement in the odds that actually reflected this. And guess what? Will Levis did not go first overall. He went to my Titans, and I'm actually glad he landed there. But let me ask you this, because I honestly don't know the answer to this question. Has Adam Schefter been wrong on this ever? Like, I would say if there's somebody to trust, it's probably Adam Schefter.
Yeah.
But the problem lies with, I feel like there are agents that are pulling the strings here. And there is always somebody who is playing chess, not checkers, who is feeding him information in order to have some kind of ripple effect.
Well, yes, every source has an agenda. There is no question about that. I would say that based on his reputation, Adam Schefter and his reputation is about as good as it gets. And so if I'm a bettor, or if I'm someone who's looking to trust a reporter, I see no reason why you wouldn't trust Adam Schefter. But again, things can change. This can be the situation as of now. But if something changes in the next week, whether it's talking to someone, an injury that was undisclosed, whatever it is, then this can change because information is fluid. Just because something is true now doesn't mean it'll be true in a week and a half. It probably will be. You never know.
I just think it's wild that he's only minus 225. Like, if it was really rock solid and no chance at not being this, wouldn't we see a higher price? Like, it's the price on, like, the Dodgers to win a game that has, like, chance built into it. So, we'll see if Shefty was right. Top of the hour is next here on the Daily Tip. We'll start off with a Masters recap.
Chelsea and Jenks will be right back on the Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.